Hrothgar, king of the Danes, glorious in battle, built him a huge hall, its gleaming roof towering high to heaven, strong to withstand the buffet of war. He called it Hiorot, and lived there with his queen. At time of feasting, he gave to his followers rings and ornaments and bracelets of bright gold, cunningly wrought, graved with runes and deeds of dead heroes. Here they enjoyed feasts and high fellowship, story and song, and the pride of armed peace. But away in the treacherous fens beyond the moor, a hideous monster lurked, fiend from hell, misbegotten son of a foul mother, Grendel his name, hating the sound of the harp, the minstrel's song, the bold merriment of men in whose distorted likeness he was shaped, twice 6 feet tall, with arms of a hairy gorilla and red ferocious eyes and ravening jaws. He, one night, when the warriors of Hrothgar lay slumbering after banquet, came to Hiorot, broke down the door, seized in his fell grip a score and more of the sleeping sons of men, and carried them home for meat. At break of day, the hall of Hiorot rang loud and long with woe of warriors and grief of the great king. Thereafter, from dark lake and dripping caves, night after night over the misty moor came Grendel, gross and grim, famished for flesh. Empty the beds, no man dared sleep at Hiorot. But Grendel smelt them out of their hiding place, and many a meal he made of warriors. For 12 years he waged war with Hrothgar, piling grief upon grief. For 12 years he haunted great Hiorot. Now there lived overseas in the land of the Geats a youth of valiance abounding, mightiest yet mildest of men, his name Beowulf, who, hearing of Grendel and minded to destroy him, built a boat of the stoutest timber and chose him warriors, 14 of the best. In shining armor they boarded the great vessel, beached on the shingle by the curling tide. Straightway they shoved her off. They ran up the white sail, and the wind caught her. The biting wind whipped her over the waves. Like a strong bird, the swan boat winged her way over the gray Baltic. The wintry whale rode, till the lookout sighted land, a sickle of fair sand and glittering white cliffs. The keel struck the shingle. The warriors sprang ashore. But the watchman of the Danes, the lone cliff guardian, seeing them from afar, spurred his charger and came galloping down the shore. He brandished his spear, and over the wind and wave roar loud he shouted, "Strangers from the Whale Road! Who are you that dare, unbidden, unheralded, so boldly trespass here? Upon your flashing shields and the points of your spears I see the glint of death." And Beowulf answered, "We are from Sweden, O guardian of the shore. Fear not, for in loyalty we come. From friendly fields that tremble to the tale of your suffering and horror unspeakable. Crowding sail, hot haste, we are come with stout spears of ash wood and shields to protect you. God grant we rid you of Grendel, that grim monster." The watchman lowered his spear, and from smiling lips the wind blew to Beowulf fair words of greeting. "Whoever serves my king is welcome here. Come, noble warriors, let me show you the way, and my men will look to your boat. They left her at anchor, the broad-bellied ship afloat on the bobbing tide, and followed him over the cliff toward Heorot. As they marched, the boar head glared from their helmets, the iron rings rang on their mail coats, and the watchmen said, Behold the huge hall, wide-gabled, the gleaming roof towering high to heaven. Follow the street to the studded door where Wulfgar, herald of the king, will receive you. May God Almighty prosper your venture and hold you safe. He wheeled about on his horse and galloped away to the shore. Thus came the warriors to Heorot, and, heavy with weariness, halted by the door. They propped their spears by a pillar. From blistered hands, their shields slid clattering to the floor. Then Wulfgar, herald of the king, having demanded their errand, ran to his royal master and quick returning urged them within. The long hall lay before them, the floor paved with stone, the roof high raftered. In mournful state upon his throne sat brooding, aged Hrothgar, gray-haired and bowed with grief. Slowly he raised his eyes, leaden, lusterless, and gazed upon the youth as with ringing step boldly he strode forth till he stood at his feet. O noble Hrothgar, giver of treasure, Lord of the rousing war song, we bring you greeting. Because we grieve deep for your desolation, over the long paths of the ocean have we labored, I and my warriors, to rid you of the brute that nightly robs you of rest. I am no weakling. With my trusty blade I have slain a monster brood, and blindly at night many a foul sea beast that writhed and twisted in the bounding wave. I beg you to grant my wish. I shall not fail. Then Hrothgar stretched out his arms in welcome, and took him by the hand and said, Beowulf, I knew you as a child, and who has not exulted in your fame as a fighter? It is a triumph song that ocean thunders to her farthest shore. It is a whisper in the frailest seashell. Now, like your princely father long ago, in the brimming kindness of your heart you have come to deliver us. But Unferth bristled at these words. Unferth, who sat always at the feet of Hrothgar, a groveling, jealous man, who could not bear that anyone should win more fame than he. Braggart, he cried, are you not that Beowulf who failed against Breca in the swimming match? 7 nights you wallowed in a wintry sea, some sport that was, sport for jeering waves that jollied you like spindrift from crest to crest, till sick with cold you shrieked for mercy. Who heard? Not Breca, who long since had battled the land, but the sea, tired at last of its puny plaything, spewed you ashore. Angrily Beowulf answered, That's a drunkard's tale. True, Breca was first ashore, but I could have raced him, and had I wished. We were boys then, with our full share of folly, plunging, sword in hand, giddily to battle with monster whales, when a storm came sweeping down, and gruesome waves ground and trampled us under. It was Breca that cried for help. I fought to save him. But a fierce northeaster whipped us apart, and I saw him no more. In the dark and bitter cold, the icy brine was heaving murkily with monsters. Glad was I of my sword and mail coat, for a serpent had wound his sinewy coils around my waist, and squeezing, dragged me below. But before he could break me, I slew him. 9 others, too, before the raging flood tide rolled me to land. I am not aware that you, brave Unferth, can boast such a record. If you be as bold as you proclaim, tell me, how comes it that Grendel is still alive? Ah, I know a coward when I see one. Soon, if the king be willing, I shall grapple with Grendel and show you what courage means. Then Hrothgar, marking the warrior's blazing eyes and hasty hand fingering his sword hilt, with mild words melted his anger. Noble Beowulf, pay no heed to Unferth, an envious wayward man unworthy of note. Right gladly I grant your wishes, but first one word of warning. That sword you spoke of, it will avail nothing with Grendel, whose life is proof against all weapons whatsoever wrought by man. You must go for him with your hands, your bare hands. Thus spake King Hrothgar, and from his bounteous heart wished the youth well. Soon as the benches had been cleared away for banquet, he called for his queen, the gracious Wealhtheow, who proudly entering was proudly hailed by royal clarion of trumpets. A gown of broidered gold she wore, behind her a long train dark as the night sky, illumined with galaxy of stars that, as she glided forward to greet her guests, trembled in the torchlight. The mead cup glowed in her hands, strong to revive them, weary from wandering over the surging sea. Kneeling, she offered it first to Beowulf, next to his warriors each in turn, and lastly to the Danes. They drank and they feasted. The jeweled goblets clashed in the great hall. There was loud revelry of heroes, bold merriment of men, and minstrel song and the soothing voice of the harp, until twilight. The drowsy hour of Grendel's coming, the black shape stealing over the dusky moor. Then the Danes, man by man, uprose, and, clearing the banquet, brought for their guests soft couches, pillows strewn with fleeces of thick wool. When the queen had departed, they hurried each to his secret hiding place, and last of all, murmuring abundant blessing on Beowulf, grave and reluctant, the noble Hrothgar. Straightway Beowulf stripped off his armor, his mail coat, his shining helmet. His shield and precious sword gave he to his servant, and in the ring of warriors lay down to rest. But spent as they were, for tumult of Grendel and his havoc, like runaway hooves making riot in their brains, they could not sleep. Under their fleeces in terror they sweated and trembled wide awake, till at last, outworn with weariness, heavy-lidded, they slept. All but Beowulf, alone he watched. Over the misty moor, from the dark and dripping caves of his grim lair, Grendel, with fierce, ravenous stride, came stepping. A shadow under the pale moon he moved, that fiend from hell, foul enemy of God, toward Heorot. He beheld it from afar, the gleaming roof towering high to heaven. His tremendous hand struck the studded door, wrenched it from the hinges till the wood splintered and the bolts burst apart. Angrily he prowled over the polished floor, a terrible light in his eyes, a torch flaming. As he scanned the warriors, deep, drugged in sleep, loud he laughed, and pouncing on the nearest, tore him limb from limb and swallowed him whole, sucking the blood in streams, crunching the bones, half-gorged, his gross appetite still unslaked. Greedily he reached his hand for the next, little reckoning for Beowulf. The youth clutched it and firmly grappled. Such torture as this the fiend had never known. In mortal fear, he was minded to flee to his lair. But Beowulf prisoned him fast. Spilling the benches, they tugged and heaved. From wall to wall, they hurtled. And the roof rang to their shouting. The huge hall rocked. The strong foundations groaned and trembled. Then Grendel wailed from his wound. His shriek of pain roused the Danes in their hiding and shivered to the stars. The warriors in the hall spun reeling from their couches. In dull stupor they fumbled for their swords, forgetting no man-made weapon might avail. Alone, Beowulf tore Grendel's arm from his shoulder asunder, wrenched it from the root while the tough sinews cracked. And the monster roared in anguish, well knowing that deadly was the wound and his mortal days ended. Wildly lamenting, away into the darkness he limped, over the misty moor to his gloomy home. But the hero rejoiced in his triumph and wildly waved in the air his blood-soaked trophy. And the sun, God's beacon of brightness, banishing night, made glad the sky of morning. From near and far the Danes came flocking to Heorot to behold the grisly trophy, Grendel's giant arm. Nailed to the wall, the fingertips outspread, with nails of sharpened steel and murderous spikes clawing the roof. Having drunk their fill of wonder, eagerly they followed his track to the lake, and there, spellbound, they stared at the water welling with blood, still smoking hot, where down to the joyless deep he had dived. Downward to death. And they praised Beowulf and swore that of all men under the sun, beyond measure mightiest was he and fittest to govern his people. Meanwhile, in the hall at Heorot, the grateful king, all glooming gone, his countenance clear and cloudless as the sky in open radiance of the climbing sun, gave thanks to God for deliverance. Beowulf, he said, bravest of men, I shall love you now as my son. All I have is yours for the asking. Take what treasure you will. But first let us feast and be merry. Straightway they washed the blood from the floor, propped up the battered door. The drooping walls they draped with embroidery, bright hangings of woven gold. There was drinking and feasting again, revelry of heroes, and the jeweled goblets clashed. At last the king, aged Hrothgar, gray-haired giver of treasure, ordered gifts to be brought. To Beowulf he gave a sword and mail coat and banner of gleaming gold, a plated helmet so tough no steel might cleave it. 8 prancing horses with golden harness and bridles of silver, the proudest saddled with his own battle seat, all set with splendid jewels, most cunningly inlaid. To each of the warriors a sword and bountiful recompense of gold for their friend that Grendel slew. Then the minstrel sang of rousing deeds of old. Like the flames in the firelight, the heart leapt to hear them. And when he had done, and the harp lay silent, the queen of the Danes spoke out. Beowulf, dearest youth, son of most favored and fortunate of mothers, this your deed is matchless, greater than all these, in the fairest, in the farthest corners of the earth, your name shall be known. Wherever the ocean laps the windy shore and the wave-worn headland, your praise shall be sung. And now the feast was ended. With final clarion of trumpets, they left the hall, Hrothgar and his gracious queen, leading Beowulf to a stately chamber to rest. But the Danes remained, clearing the banquet. They brought couches spread with pillows and warm coverlets, and lay down, each with his broad shield at his head, his mail coat, his spear and shining helmet, as was the custom long ere Grendel came. Now fearless of monster, their minds were at ease. Quiet as the summer sea, the sparkling water, unmurmuring and serene under the moon. In comfort of spirit, in blessed trust and tranquility, they sank to rest.